welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello, everybody.
And also with us from the Horror Comics Podcast, we've got Chris.
Hello.
We are on the second issue of Something is Killing the Children. If you want to check out our coverage of the first issue, go check out our last episode. And we'll go ahead and start out this one with Tommy. And he is late. He's waking up and he's late to work. We are also introduced to his mom and the fact that his
sister, that's right,
is missing. Been missing for some time now. And her mom, or Tommy's mom, is trying to convince him to put the flyers on all the cars in the rip-off Applebee's parking lot. Because he is the manager of said rip-off Applebee's. And she just wants to be... Well, she wants the kid to be found, obviously. But she also just wants it for, like, a peace of mind. She knows nothing is going to come about it, probably, but it's something that she could do. The interesting thing here is, though, as Tommy is leaving, he hears a sound and looks over and, you know, asks if anybody's there, and he doesn't see anything. But we as the viewer, we as the reader, we see the creature, the one that ripped up James, well, James's friends, standing there. So... This gives me the assumption that all the creature wants is children, or there's like a certain reason why it wants children. It won't attack an adult. So that's what I kind of pieced together. Otherwise, Tommy would be dead.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And of course, at first you're like, I guess the first time I read it, I wasn't like, oh, okay. He can't see this, because it cuts right to your double splash sort of title page, which I love the dramatic effect that gives. But then you kind of go back to business as usual and we come back across Tommy. So I was like, what's going on? Okay. So clearly he didn't see, like, he's not dead. He didn't see what's going on.
Yeah. Cause he makes
obviously it, we'll touch on that later.
Makes it to the Applebee's. Rip off Applebee's.
Got to be better than Applebee's.
I don't mind Applebee's. I'm not gonna lie. It's not. it's a someplace to go once every like 8 months or something. Nothing like a weekend thing.
We went there not too long ago. I mean, I say that meaning like it might have been a year ago. I think we had like a gift card somebody gave us or something, and we were like, okay, let's get like burgers or whatever. They have like a vegetarian burger, now that I think of it, that actually is not bad. But I think my wife got like some kind of a I don't know, steak or something. but a giant blue drink that's just liquid sugar. And we're like, this is really something else. But hey, but they have karaoke. So,
oh, really? Ours don't.
Here they've got a karaoke. Nice. They got to get you there somehow. No, I can't fairly talk about it. I know I've had some interesting experiences there, but again,
it's Applebee's.
Different parts of the world.
You're also,
you go to McDonald's in one place, that's worse than another. So
yeah. Yes. Yes. So we're back to Erica and James, and they're walking into said Applebee's, where Tommy is the manager. And she's like, hey, if I pay you to keep my stuff at this table over here, is that going to be an inconvenience for you? Like, I just want to keep it there for the week. Like, I'll give you $50 a day just to let my stuff be there. And he's just like, wait, what? Huh? Like, I guess it's fine.
I've been like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I think he even does pocket the money. Like,
oh yeah.
So yeah, so she sets up shop in the booth, in the corner, and I can't remember this lady's name, but she's just like, "Hey, what would you guys like today? You know, here at Applebeans. Sorry, I kept saying beans. Applebeans."
Okay. I thought it was
sweet
the way you were too.
Well, I read beans up here on the sign.
Because on the sign, the A and the N run together.
Yes.
But
she actually does say apple beans. But Eric is just like, "Look, I'll have whatever lager you have in the water, and he'll have a Coke or a soda and coffee, and just leave us be. We'll tip you whatever, blah, blah, blah." So I like how she's being all like nonchalant with her, like, "Just give me whatever, I'm here. Just leave me be." James brings up the fact, like, "You know, you sound like you've done this before," as she's searching a map of the town. And we get a couple flashbacks of Erica doing monster killing. Like, we see a couple. And I'm also kind of surprised of how similar all the monsters look.
Yeah.
Apparently they don't want diversity in the monster culture. Maybe we'll get that later.
Maybe those are the only ones that she hunts.
Some of these are like, she's kind of just like slashing through limbs, but you do have the one in the second panel of the flashback that's like clearly like almost her size. A little bit more like, I don't know, like humanoid looking or something.
It looks like a smaller version of machetes. What was that, Ron?
I said pinned to the wall with machetes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a smaller version of the monster there in Archer's Peak. But again, it's only one quick panel. We don't really know. We get the waitress and Tommy just, you know, talking back and forth. She mentions that the kid that she is with is James, the one that, well, it's the kid that survived the killing from 2 weeks ago. And how it's weird that he should be in school and he's not. Then Tommy's just like, "All right, I'm done with this. I'm going to go say something to him."
This is really smart on my end, or in my opinion, as far as like connecting dots and pushing the story along, like, especially once you get to issue 6, I don't know, like looking back through it, you start to see like, this is a really smart way to get these characters to where they're going to go. That I would never have thought of, like, Tommy works at the thing and they're there. It just, I don't know. It's cool. And like his staff, they're all friends and they talk, of course. It's just, to me, that's a really clever kind of way to move this story along and create some conflict. And obviously we'll get there, but like, again, very impressed with old James's writing here and pacing.
Yeah. He is a great writer.
Yeah,
he really is. Find out that Sophie, his sister, was the first one that went missing, which is on the other side of town, I guess. Erica's got like all of the houses or all the missing cases marked off, and they're all in a central area, and it's obviously away from where they're at. So once Tommy informs her that, "Hey, this was where the first one was," he's like, "Okay, cool. We'll figure this out." And what ends up happening is, was it Eric?
I like right here where she's like, "I don't know where your sister is, Tommy." And he's like, "How the fuck do you know my name?" And she's like, you've got a name tag on, genius.
I mean, that throws him off the, just, oh, yeah, over the edge.
As Erica is having James grab her bag, he slips and drops it, and out pops a giant machete. And Tommy is like, "All right, I'm sick of this," and goes to basically lay hands on her, at like in a forceful get the fuck out kind of way. And she just throws him to the table. It's like, "All right, I'm letting you go. I'm grabbing my stuff and I'm leaving." And they do. But that, you know, that wasn't enough for Tommy. He calls the cops right there and then, saying, hey, there's a suspicious girl here. Can you check into it? So she gets another phone call. And yeah, doesn't really do much on that one. Just finds out that whoever she's talking to is a giant dick. And
That theme will carry through the next few issues as well.
She ends up stopping at a motel and or back to the motel that she is staying at. And I like that the front desk clerk, I guess you call her, or call him, is like, hey, you had a call. And, you know, she's like, yeah. Too bad I missed them. Or too bad they missed me. And he's like, I don't want any trouble. Like, okay.
And she's like, yeah, me neither.
And this is where it starts to get fun. As soon as she gets, as soon as she gets into her room, she pulls out an octopus, a little stuffed octopus. Mm-hmm. I can speak words. I swear. And starts talking to it, and it talks back.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't.
Sheriff shows up. The manager, I'm assuming who that was, is like, yeah, she's back there. I don't know, she's been making a lot of noises, weird shit. And so as soon as the sheriff goes to the door to knock on it, he sees something underneath the door. Sees a shadow.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, this is weird. Knocks on the door. Is like, you know, please open up. And so she does. And she's like, you know, what's the problem? But we see a... What would be the best way to describe this? I really have no idea.
A creature.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess. It's in a ethereal a humanoid form.
Squid.
There, that works. Very. It's like overlapping the octopus animal, stuffed animal thing.
Animal.
But it seems like it is like the spirit of whatever this octopus is. It also seems like, and I'm just going to assume, we'll find out in the next issue, but I'm just going to assume that the sheriff doesn't see it. And Erica's just, she looks kind of pissed off, like, why are you bothering me? You know? But that's how we end this second issue. With more questions.
and a different direction of what we're dealing with, where you go from creatures and investigating that and like a monster killer to now something that seems a lot more supernatural.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, the creatures seem supernatural, but especially when no other people can't see them, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. True. So. Ghostly, maybe the term.
Okay.
So you guys ever think that this kid bounced back pretty quick in 2 weeks for his friends being butchered right in front of him?
I mean, to be fair, he isn't really stable. You could tell that immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a thing. But also, like, the interrogation, I don't know. I guess when you see the actual death and all that stuff, and the way these kids were killed, it's like, well, that kid couldn't do that. So they clearly are like, well, you know, how would he do this one? And also, how do we cover up how they were found? You know, I don't know. That's something well, that like,
and
I'd be kind of curious to get more, a lot more details on.
He was probably the only one, like the only survivor, I think, out of everything that happened. Like everything else is just families that are missing their kids or whatever. He's the only one that's actually seen what happened and found the bodies. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're going to interrogate them, but at the same time, he's 12. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's not throwing kids through the trees and splattering their blood all over, you know, treetops and whatnot.
Well, it's not impossible, just improbable.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to listen to more of Chris, check out his other podcast, DC Comics Squadcast. and Horror Comics Podcast on all major podcasting apps. And follow the shows on Twitter at DC Squadcast and at Horror Comics Pod, respectfully. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more Something is Killing the Children.